One implicit assumption I've sometimes found in Western thought is that in the story of evolution, human beings enjoy a unique existential status. This uniqueness is often understood in terms of some kind of soul or self-consciousness, which only humans are thought to possess. Many people appear to assume implicitly three incremental stages in the development of life: inanimate matter, living organisms, and human beings. Behind this view may lie an idea that human beings occupy a distinctly different category from animals and plants. Strictly speaking, this is not a scientific concept. In contrast, if one examines the history of Buddhist philosophical thinking, there is an understanding that animals are closer to humans, in that both are sentient beings, than they are to plants. This understanding is based on the notion that, insofar as their sentience is concerned, there's no difference between humans and animals. Just as we humans wish to escape suffering and seek happiness, so do animals. Similarly, just as humans have the capacity to experience pain and pleasure, so do animals. Philosophically speaking, from the Buddhist point of view, both human beings and animals possess what in Tibetan is called shepa, which can roughly be translated as consciousness, albeit to different degrees of complexity. In Buddhism, there is no recognition of the presence of something like the soul that is unique to humans. From the perspective of consciousness, the difference between humans and animals is a matter of degree, not of kind. In the earliest Buddhist scriptures, there is an allusion to a story of human evolution, which is recounted in many of the subsequent Abhidharma texts. The story unfolds in the following manner. The Buddhist cosmos consists of three realms of existence: the desire realm, the form realm, and the formless realm, the last being progressively subtler states of existence. The desire realm is characterized by the experience of sensual desires and pain. This is the realm that we humans and animals inhabit. In contrast, the form realm is free from any manifest experience of pain and is permeated principally by an experience of bliss. Beings in this realm possess bodies composed of light. Finally, the formless realm utterly transcends all physical sensation. Existence in this realm is permeated by an abiding state of perfect equanimity, and the beings in this realm are entirely free from material embodiment. They exist only on an immaterial mental plane. Beings in the higher states of the desire realm and those in both the form and formless realms are described as celestial beings. It should be noted that these realms also fall within the first noble truth. They are not permanent heavenly states to which we should aspire. They come with their own suffering of impermanence. The evolution of human life on Earth is understood in terms of the descent of some of these celestial beings who have exhausted their positive karma, which provided them with the cause and conditions to remain in these higher realms. There was no original sin that precipitated the fall. It's simply the nature of impermanent existence, cause and effect, that causes a being to change states, to die. When these beings first experienced their fall and were born on Earth, they still possess vestiges of their previous glories. These humans of the first era were thought to have godlike qualities. They are said to have come into being through spontaneous birth. They had attractive physiques, their bodies had halos, they had certain supernormal powers, like flying, and they subsisted on the nourishment of inner contemplation. They were also thought to be free from many of the features that serve as the basis for discriminating identity, such as gender, race, and caste. Over time, it is said, humans began to lose these qualities. As they took nourishment from material food, their bodies assumed coarser corporeality and thus gave rise to a great diversity of physical appearances. This diversity, in turn, led to feelings of discrimination, especially animosity towards those who appeared different and attachment toward those who were similar, resulting in the emergence of the whole host of gross negative emotions. Furthermore, the dependence on material food led to the need for the disposal of waste from the body, and I'm not quite sure how the reasoning goes here. This need led to the emergence of the male and female sex organs of the human body. The story continues with a detailed account of the genesis of the entire range of negative human actions, such as killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct.